You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to the Coaching Youth Hoops Podcast.
They're playing basketball.
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 Here's our hosts, Steve Collins. And Bill Flitter.
Hey, coaches, welcome to another episode of Coaching Youth Hoops. I am your host, Coach Bill Flitter. Hey, before we get started, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Game Changer, gc.com/coachingyouthhoops. Check it out. It is a great app to track stats. You can see your parents can see live action, or grandma who can't be at the game can see her granddaughter, grandson play. You can record. You can, like I said, take stats. It's a great free tool for youth coaches. Go check it out at gc.com/coachingyouthhoops. All right. I thought about this, and I've been thinking about this question, and it's one of these questions that, yeah, we take for granted, because, you know, I've been coaching for, 15 plus years, and I never asked this question to my players up until recently. And the question is this: why do we run plays? Right? Why do we have a set offense? Why do we have a set inbound play? Why do we have a press break? Why do we have a press, right? These are all plays, or designed offenses, or a defensive scheme, right? Why do we do any of that in basketball? And you might hear that question, and you might, think, oh, well, it's pretty obvious. Pretty obvious to us, but is it obvious to your players? Okay. And another way maybe to say that is, why do we have to learn any of the plays and such? And I think it comes down to a very fundamental reason. And especially, explaining this to youth players in this way. And here's what my opinion is on the matter is. So we know where all the other players on the court are, or what they're doing. Right. It's, with some predictability, we kind of have an understanding of what everybody else should be doing. Doesn't mean they're going to do it, but, it gives us an opportunity it gives players just a sense of awareness of where other players on the court are. Okay. It helps players not getting away with one another. Okay. And, as offenses and plays break down, right? And maybe the defense doesn't cooperate with us. What do we do, right? And what I always say, and what I, well, I shouldn't say always, I just started saying this, excuse me for that, is, we don't run plays, we make plays, right? So yes, I do have a, of course I have the blitz attack offense, one of the best offenses for youth basketball. So yeah, go to blitz attack offense, check that out. But why do I have that? Right? I do it so we know we're all in sync, in coordination with one another. Okay. Does it break down at times? Absolutely. Right. But so kids need to learn that next step. Right. If kids learn how to play, it fills in the gaps when these design plays break down. We put so much emphasis on teaching what to do with the ball in our hand. Right. I bet 98% of your practice time is focused on what to do when we have the ball in our hand. Okay. Or at least a majority of. And 98% of the time in a game, we don't have the ball in our hand. We're doing something else in that game. But how much of your practice time are devoted to those things that are outside or that, that don't involve dribbling or the ball or getting open or doing finishing moves? So I sat and thought about this. What should we be teaching? And what's a good way to kind of maybe put this in buckets to help you, translate to your kids what they should be doing when they don't have the ball in their hands? So, all right. So number one, and these are the five things that I've come up with. Spatial awareness, right? Kids need to understand where they are on the court at all times in relation to their teammates. That kind of goes back to the plays, why we have designed plays, right? Learning to constantly scan the floor develops their spatial recognition. So, that's something that we have to teach. That's something they're going to learn by playing more often. They're going to be aware of that spatial recognition. As I always say, ABCs, always be creating space too, right? Kind of goes along with that. Next one, which is, I think, one of the hardest things to teach, but great teams do this, which is communication, verbal and nonverbal communication, right? Making sure that they're calling out, you're about to get screened, or hey, I'm coming, to set a screen, right? Holding up your fist by doing that. Pointing, gesturing for passes, calling out defense assignments. Last night, for example, we were running a brand new play, an inbound play. I just didn't like our current inbound play, so I changed it. And there's a few girls on my team that I kind of hold to higher standards. And I said, it's your responsibility when you're on the court to know the play and to know where everybody else is on the court. And are they in the right positions, and make sure we're set up in the right positions, so that, at least the play has a chance of succeeding right from the start. And again, these are older girls, 7th and 8th grade. I get that. So, but if you have a player that has a high basketball IQ that's younger than that, try it out, right? Give them that responsibility. Number three is positioning and movement, right? Mastering basic footwork, footwork on defense, footwork on offense, being in the right position, positional spots on both the offense and defense, based on the play. Things like setting effective screens, making smart cuts, boxing out, closing out on shooters. Right? This all falls into this positioning and movement. Next, hustle, right? Energy and effort. That's what I always say, right? Playing with maximum effort and intensity, right? Even when you don't have the ball, directly impacts the game, right? We always think, oh, I got to have the ball to impact the game. No, it's what you do away from the ball that impacts the game. And you should be thinking about, okay, I see my player, my teammate over there with the ball. What can I do right now? And this is a question you should ask your kids. What can I do right now to get him to give him an opportunity to make a play? Not even to score necessarily, to make a play. Okay, so what can I do to help my teammate make a play? Okay. And hustle, of course, this, right? Other things like crashing the boards, diving for loose balls, right? All of that is, are hustle stuff that we can bring up in games or in practice and work on that. Court awareness, keeping your head up. This is the last one. Court, keeping your head up, seeing the whole court, that's huge, right? You need to be aware of where the shot clock is, the score, right? Time remaining, all of those things, right? As well as what the defense is trying to do. And again, this goes back to that kind of just decision making, right? And again, how do you develop court awareness? Time, right? Playing more. The coaches, we can point things out. We can, during maybe one of your segments, you freeze players and show them, what they might have missed or the opportunities that are there that are in front of them that they are missing. Watch film, right? Those are all kinds of ways we can help players learn court awareness. All right, let's recap again. What should we be teaching players when they're not, when they don't have the ball in their hand? I think it breaks down into five groups of things: spatial awareness, communication, positioning and movement, hustle, and court awareness. All right, coaches, I hope that you found that helpful. A few things that you can work on in practice that don't involve dribbling, shooting, or any scoring type of movements. Till next time, I appreciate you. Take care, coaches.
Sports Social Podcast Network.